mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today in our Community and Business Spotlight, a conversation with Kelly McClurkin, the newly named CEO of the United Way of Hancock County. Also this morning, maintaining a proper diet isn't just a matter of controlling your weight, it's about supporting good gut health for your overall wellness, and now there's a way to track your progress, we'll explain. And during the pandemic, millions of people discovered the simple joy of spending time in the great outdoors, creating a whole new generation of happy campers. So what and where are they exploring this summer? This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. In case you missed the season announcement from the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts last night, Jody Messina, one of the big headliners. So this is the main stage series that was announced yesterday from the Marathon Center. And it's a pretty good series this year. Hadestown, the 8-time Tony Award winning Broadway musical, will be here to start off the series on October 21st. That'll be followed by Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway, Grammy Award-winning musician, November the 24th. The Christmas show this year is A Rockin' Christmas with Michael Cavanaugh, who, if you're not familiar with the name Michael Cavanaugh, he played Billy Joel in the Broadway musical Moving Out. Hand-selected by Billy Joel for that role. Very talented young man. Rockin' Christmas with Michael Cavanaugh on December 15th, then Jody Messina on January 24th, Mandy Patinkin in concert, Being Alive, it's a one-man show from the Broadway and TV star, February 16th, and then the Broadway musical Come From Away, which I am really excited about, Come From Away. That was in Toledo a couple of years ago. And I had a number of friends that went to see it and just raved about that show. So that will be the concluding show of the main stage series at the Marathon Center on May 1st of next year. Tickets are on sale now for MCPA members, and the tickets to the general public go on sale, I believe, next week for those. Those are some shows that are definitely going to... I think there are going to be some sellouts in there, certainly, and they're going to be hot tickets for some of the main stage shows this year at the Marathon Center. That's a good series. That is a good series. So really looking forward to a number of those shows. What else is going on? Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, Ohio lawmakers are considering a measure that could expand rental property access for pet owners. This is House Bill 277, known as the Pet Friendly Rental Act. It is due for a vote on the House floor. I don't know if that'll be today or sometime later this week, but the legislation would provide a tax credit for landlords who allow tenants to have pets, dogs and cats specifically. I don't know if it goes beyond just dogs or cats, but those are obviously the most common pets. The legislation would provide a tax credit for landlords who allow tenants to have pets. And if a proper property owner accepted the credit, they would not be able to charge non-refundable pet-related fees or limit animals based on breed or size. So they take the tax credit, they could not place a limit or charge an extra fee for a pet to a rental. Now, to a renter. Now, a couple of caveats with this. It does not say, and I have not read the bill, so I don't know the full extent of it, but it does not appear that they would be allowed to, or that they would be required to allow multiple pets. So if you have, you know, two or three dogs and two or three cats or something like that, you may still be out of luck. I believe they may still be able to restrict the number of pets a renter has. And if they, again, it says if a property owner accepts the tax credit, then they would not be able to place any limits on pets for renters. So if they elect not to take the tax credit, they could still restrict pets. So it's not going to be universal. It'll be up to each individual landlord, but you got to think that many landlords, I'm sure they're going to make it worth their while to take the tax credit. That would be, I mean, if it's a tiny tax credit that's not going to make a difference, a lot of landlords might say it's not worth the hassle. So you got to make it big enough that they would be willing to accept it. But if you are a renter and you have pets and you found it difficult to find a place because of your pets, looks like there is some relief coming from the state legislature. Elsewhere, among the first things you need to know this morning, one of the big stories earlier this week, Apple introduced new features of its latest operating system for the iPhone, iOS 18. A lot of the attention was centered around the artificial intelligence features, the integration of AI into the operating system. Apple is a little bit late to the party with respect to AI. But this was kind of interesting. I saw on the TechWire this morning, some consumers are saying that the ability to hide apps in the operating system is what they are most concerned about. In a press release, Apple says that users in iOS 18 will be able to lock an app, and for additional privacy, they can hide an app, moving it into a locked hidden apps folder. So anybody else gets a hold of your phone, they would not be able to tell whether you have this app or not. It would be hidden. And content within those hidden apps would not even come up in a search of the device. So it'd be like it's not even there. You would be the only one who would know it's there. And one commenter said this is just going to give some users more opportunities to cheat on their spouse or their significant other. One person on the social media platform X commented, "It's a great feature for men with both a wife and a girlfriend." So, yeah, they're calling it the cheating feature. That's interesting. But it's coming to iOS 18. By the way, speaking of technology, there apparently is something new that we cannot text people. See, this is, you know, the constantly moving target of what is and isn't appropriate to text people online. You remember when people were shortening the response "okay" to just "K"? You want to go for lunch today, and somebody would say "K" instead of "okay," just because it was shorter and easier to text. Well, then that became a no-no because apparently texting "K" was perceived as sort of a being dismissive. Well, now there is a new thing. Apparently, we can no longer text "sure." The word "sure." So you want to go for lunch? You reply "sure." Well, that now apparently is dismissive, according to those who follow and track such things. I don't know who makes the rules on this, but it says "sure" implies a lack of enthusiasm. Some people see it just as another word for "yes" and not as a sarcastic or lackluster word. But sociolinguist Cynthia Gordon says "sure" can be seen as indecisive and might divide, and the divide might be generational. The younger generation expects more enthusiasm in texting than older folks do, generally speaking. Women might also expect more explicit enthusiasm from men. So, guys especially. Just, I guess we can't text "sure" anymore. That's a no-no. So that's the latest. I just want to make sure you are up to date. Very important things. Again, this is a moving target. So you got to make sure that you know what you can and can't text, what is and isn't appropriate, and what people, because, and it is tough with texting because it's very difficult to decipher context or the tone from just a typed word on a text message. So I do get it, but it's, it seems like, can we decide and just make some rules and stick with them? That's what I would, just make some rules and stick with them. That's all I ask. Father's Day right around the corner, and just in time, if you are stuck for a gift for dad, here you go. Pepsi is partnering with celebrity chef Bobby Flay for a new cologne. Because when I think cologne, I think Pepsi and Bobby Flay. It is called Smoked, this new cologne that captures the summer scents of grilling and an ice-cold Pepsi. The fragrance features notes of caramel, citrus, and wood. It is not available in stores, but Pepsi is giving away bottles through a contest on its Instagram page. So if you want to land a bottle of Smoked by Pepsi and Bobby Flay, in addition, it says here, select Walmart locations will be sampling the cologne this Saturday. So I don't know if they will have bottles to give away, but so many things wrong with that. It's a cologne from Pepsi and Bobby Flay, and you can sample it at Walmart. Dad would love it. Dad would love it. No question. And finally, this morning, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, and I would venture to say that this is the most important story you will hear today. There is new research been done on this, and it turns out that the Texas Rangers have the biggest wieners in Major League Baseball. I kid you not, the Rangers have the biggest wieners in MLB. This is according to a survey by the gambling website BetUS. The Boomstick hot dog is 24 inches long at the Texas Rangers ballpark, making it the biggest dog in all baseball stadiums nationwide. 24 inches long. Well, they do everything bigger in Texas, you know. The Baltimore Orioles come in second place with their 12-inch yard dog. And the smallest wiener of all is the Gator Chili Dog at Lone Depot Park, home of the Miami Marlins, which is just 6 inches long. So now you know that's the biggest and smallest wieners in Major League Baseball. You're welcome, America. There you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected today with a high in the mid-80s. Just a few clouds tonight, low in the mid-60s. A police standoff in Findlay ended peacefully when the man gave up and was taken into custody. It happened in the 1800 block of Bishop Lane on Tuesday morning. Police responded to an address when they received a call about gunshots being heard coming from a residence. Police tried to get the man to exit his residence, and he initially refused. And after a few hours, police finally convinced him to give himself up.
We were able to establish lines of communication, and we were able to get him talked into coming out onto his back deck where we took him into custody.
Lieutenant Morey said it turned out that the man had been setting off firecrackers in his backyard, and remnants of exploded firecrackers were found in the yard. Police searched the home, and no firearms were found. The lieutenant says the man has a history of mental illness and will undergo a mental health screening. Get more in the story on our website. In Logan County, a community is rallying around a family that lost more than 40 horses in a barn fire.
That fire happened Saturday afternoon. A GoFundMe was started for that family, quickly raising over $200,000 from Central Ohio's horse community. A horse auctioneer out in Virginia is also organizing an auction to help out. Cause of that fire remains under investigation. One person sustained minor injuries in that fire.
ONN's Amy Steigerwald reporting. Dr. Bill Coase with Blanchard Valley Health System is reminding people about the importance of learning CPR. He says learning cardiopulmonary resuscitation and first aid ensures that you'll be better equipped to handle a medical emergency, whether the person affected is a family member, friend, or stranger. He says many people get CPR certified and never have to use their training, but if you do, you'll be glad you have it. Get more from Dr. Coase on the importance of learning CPR in this story on our website. You can hear about the fascinating story behind Finley's iconic nickname, Flag City USA, in a presentation at the Finley-Hancock County Public Library on Thursday. During the presentation, you'll learn about the dedicated individuals who made it happen and the celebrations that have defined Finley for the 50 years since being named Flag City USA. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Putting the United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning, and with us in the studio is the newly named new CEO of the United Way of Hancock County, Kelly McClurkin. Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
It's exciting news. So, this is, I don't want to say a huge change. I mean, obviously, you've been involved with the United Way for many years already, so are you looking for kind of a, I don't want to say a seamless transition, but I guess as seamless as it could be?
Well, yeah, so I've been at the United Way 2.5 years as Resource Development Director.
Right.
But what's interesting with that timing, because I came in during campaign season, this coming campaign in 2024 in the fall will be my fourth campaign season. So it seems a little weird, you know, three years, but four campaigns. So that's how that works out. And yes, Angela has had extraordinary leadership, so I still have her for a little while to help with that transition, so I think it'll be really
picking
great.
Up the ball and running with it.
Yeah, literally hitting the ground running.
A new leadership doesn't necessarily mean any kind of a change in focus or anything like that.
No, as a matter of fact, that's really important to me. We have certainly steered the ship in the right direction, not to use an old analogy like that. Yeah. And my intent is really just to keep it going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. Especially, I think that's, you know, I've really liked what Angela's vision has been in the past. So we're going to keep it that way. And I think it's important to let our supporters know that we're going to keep heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's going to be, that's what I mean when I say a seamless transition.
Yeah, strong, we're stable, we're transparent, and we're just going to keep it that way.
A lot of what the United Way does, and it's something that we've talked about numerous times in the past, is beyond just the fundraising campaigns, raising money for the partner agencies, still obviously a big part of what you do.
Yes.
But so much more than that, involving many initiatives. One that has been going on for many years in the community is the Halt Hunger Initiative. And I know when we get into the summer months, that takes on an added significance.
Yeah. So we do have our Halt Hunger Initiative. This actually is kind of a caveat to that. So this is in collaboration with, you know, our name is United, right? So that's what we like to do, is
right,
collaborate even outside of our partner agencies. So this is a collaboration with clearly the Farmers Market, Habitat for Humanity's Financial Opportunity Center, and the OSU Extension. So all of us together are helping support SNAP at the Farmers Market, which this year patrons are expected to spend over $2,000 in SNAP benefits alone.
And just at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And again, just to interject, this is a perfect example of what you have been able to do in bringing all of the stakeholders together to make good programs even better within the community.
Right. And just to be clear, I want to back up a little bit, kind of back to that. So SNAP is just simply an acronym for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, mm-hmm. which for maybe viewers my age and older, traditionally known as food stamps,
right?
And truly, we want to break that stigma of, you know, maybe a generational thing, mm-hmm. of food stamps have somehow gotten a bad connection,
yeah.
or a bad stigma over, mm-hmm. a certain stigma over the years. So we want to break free of that, and that's what it's called, a SNAP.
So talk a little bit about this partnership and the way you are making those benefits, those dollars, go even further with respect to the farmers market.
Yes, that's exactly right. So this, it gets extended even to greater impact. So the SNAP tokens, a customer sees a one-to-one match. So if you buy $25 worth of tokens, mm-hmm. with your SNAP benefits, when I say buy, I use that, you know, there is a match. It's a USDA-backed program it's called Produce Perks. So that is specifically on produce. Mm-hmm. SNAP benefits can be spent on fresh fruits and vegetables, of course, along with other things like honey, even plants, food plants, they call them, like mm-hmm. cucumbers,
yeah.
Even baked goods. You know, it really has a diverse...
And the idea of SNAP is to encourage people to eat healthy.
Yes.
Again, same thing with the farmer's market. It doesn't get any healthier.
What better
than
way,
that.
Right?
Yeah. So yeah. It's a perfect tie-in there.
It is a perfect tie-in. So it's hard to believe where we live that 2 out of 5 children are hungry in our county, but mm-hmm. they are. So that really helps extend the benefits that they get through SNAP with that produce perks. Just be able to bring home more fresh.
You have a success story involving this program.
Yeah, nothing specific. Just a really great story of a mother who attends the Hancock County Farmers Market every week with her family. Their whole family looks forward to that each Thursday.
Yeah.
And they've made it a destination. And her kids enjoy helping plan family dinners around incorporating those fresh fruits and vegetables through the SNAP payments. Payment options. So now it's generational. She's showing them, mm-hmm. Teaching them about nutrition, how to plan and cook meals. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice. Yeah.
You hear all kinds of stories like that
yes.
from families who are able to make those dollars go a little bit further.
Right.
And stretch that budget. And at the same time, feeding their family in a healthy way.
That's right. That's right.
If folks want to learn more about these programs, these collaborations, and this is one of many that you have within the community, how do they reach out to the United Way?
So United Way is uwhancock.org, mm-hmm. or you can always call us at 419-423-1432. If you want to get connected to SNAP, that's Job and Family Services. And also, I don't think I actually mentioned when and where the farmer's market is.
Right.
It's at Marathon Center for Performing Arts, their parking lot, which is 200 West Main Cross Street. And that's every Thursday from 4 to 6, and it runs all the way through October, I believe. Yes, through the end of October.
Through the end of October. So, again, if you haven't been, check it out. And that's what's going on with respect to the SNAP benefits, because you see that when you get to the farmer's market, you see that's going on. So now you know what's happening there. Again, Kelly McClurkin with the United Way of Hancock County with us this morning. Kelly, thanks very much, and congratulations once again on the new position.
Thank you, and thanks for having us.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
Well, oftentimes when we talk about your diet, we do so in the context of managing your weight. But is your diet supporting your gut health effectively? Joining us this morning to talk about better eating habits that support gut health, not only with respect to weight management, but also to enhance your focus, improve your energy, your mood, your sleep habits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is registered dietitian Maya Feller. Maya, first of all, thanks very much for taking the time. First of all, let me talk big picture. Explain why gut health is so important for our overall well-being.
Absolutely. When we're thinking about the health of our gut, I really want listeners to dial into this idea that 70% of our immune system resides in our gut. And when I say that, it means that the health of our gut is directly impacting our heart health, our brain health, our eye health, our cardiovascular system, right? The entire vasculature of the body, our mood, our cognition, energy level, how we get sick, how we respond to sickness. So when we are flooding our system with food that actually nourishes the good bacteria in the gut, we're in turn sending an information to those bugs to actually express our immune health in a beneficial, positive way.
So, and like with most things with respect to food, you can either help this process or hurt it. What are some of the common foods that can negatively impact our gut health?
That's a fantastic question. So remember I said that there are good bugs in the gut. We want to feed them. When we have a pattern of eating that's centered around added sugars, synthetic and saturated fats and lots of added salt, we tend to see a decrease in the good bugs and a decrease in the colonic bacterial diversity. Having bacterial diversity is a great thing when we're thinking about gut health. So those patterns of eating with those high amounts of added sugars, added fats, and the added salts, rather what we want to do is overpopulate our pattern of eating with fiber so that we can nourish the good bugs. And what the fiber-rich sources are, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, those are some of the things that really are helping to build up the good bugs within our gut.
I was going to ask, that was going to be my next question. Obviously, many of the things that you're talking about that are bad for our gut health with the added sugars and fats and salts and so on, becoming more and more difficult to avoid those sorts of things. So, you know, what should we be doing instead? And how do we track all of this? How do we keep track and manage all of this to make sure that we're getting enough of this in our diet?
Yeah, so some of the things that we can do is actually modify what shows up on our plate. What I want to encourage people to do is lean into tools like tracking apps that allow them to have more awareness around what they are eating. MyFitnessPal has introduced a free feature in the app, and it's called Food Group Insights. What this does is it gives you, the user, an overview of the number of foods that you've logged in any given week, and then it's actually categorized by food group. So you can see like a real readout of the things that you're consuming. Now, let's say that you're like, I don't know how to put the foods together. Well, there's a gut health recipe collection that MyFitnessPal offers. And this recipe collection features high fiber recipes that incorporate a variety of fruits and vegetables. I heard you say before, right, like how do we navigate the packaged goods? This is where I say to folks, become an informed consumer. You want to read those labels. You want to make sure that if you're getting a can of beans, that it's a can of beans. If it has a high amount of salt, or if you're seeing that there's added sugars in those can of beans, perhaps make the choice to have something else. Get a different can that doesn't have those things, or rinse the beans, for example.
Mm-hmm.
MyFitnessPal also has a gut health nutrition plan. And for members who opt in, the plan actually helps them learn the impact of having a fiber-rich pattern of eating on their overall gut health and how to make those swaps, like I was just talking about, that really help you to reduce your added sugar intake.
Yeah, I want to underscore that part of it, because it's one thing to be able to track the choices that you're making and, you know, making sure that you're getting enough of the right kind of stuff, but also the educational component to help folks understand why this is important and what is it's actually doing with respect to your innards.
That's exactly right. Because once we are knowledgeable and once we have information that allows us to make choices, then we can choose. And it's in the choices that we start to see these beneficial outcomes with regard to our gut health.
Again, registered dietitian Maya Feller with us this morning talking about better eating habits to improve our gut health. And where do we get more information, Maya?
Yeah, so folks can head over to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the MyFitnessPal app. They can also go directly to MyFitnessPal.com for more information.
Maya Feller, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Imagine this on your drive into work, on your morning commute, if you encountered this issue. Utah Highway Patrol troopers say Interstate 80 was shut down for a sweet mess after a semi-truck spilled a load of watermelons in the early hours Monday morning. A semi-truck load of watermelons spilled on the all over the interstate. Troopers arrived. It happened about 3 a.m. Troopers arrived at the scene as the fruit that was spread across the highway. This was the reason why it became such. And we've had stories, you know, where things have been spilled on the highway and caused, a total mess and, upended the morning commute and all of that and passed. But this one is special because when troopers arrived, by the time troopers arrived to clean up the mess, the fruit that was spread across the highway had already started to attract the attention of local wildlife. So it was not only a matter of removing the fruit, but they had to shoo away all of the wildlife that was gathering for a meal. Trooper said all lanes of the highway were open by late morning, but the morning commute was a little melancholy. Oh, that's a bad pun. But can you imagine trying to explain that to your boss? There were watermelons all over the highway, and then there were wildlife trying to... What a mess. Oh, my goodness. Elsewhere in the broken news, sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news story. Toledo police sharing details of a weekend incident in which a department vehicle crashed into a suspect. That's one way to get your guy. An 18-year-old male in a stolen vehicle led officers on a pursuit early this past Saturday morning. The chase ended inside Woodlawn Cemetery, where the man exited the vehicle's passenger door and attempted to run when police say a department vehicle, a cruiser, slid in the mud and struck the suspect. That's a way to prevent him from running away. You slam into the suspect there. Fortunately, he's going to be okay. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries and presumably placed under arrest. But that's one way to get your man there. Not to be outdone, Toledo police also investigating after a man opened fire on another vehicle as it was stopped at a train crossing, a railroad crossing. The incident happened when police say a man dressed all in black got out of his vehicle, opened fire at another vehicle that was stopped for a passing train. The man then got back into his black Dodge Caravan and fled from the scene. No injuries were reported. The other driver was not struck, just fired at the vehicle. I mean, are you upset that he was stopped for a train? I mean, I've heard of road rage before, but golly, you gotta stop for a train. There's not much you can do when a train is crossing the road there. That seems like somebody who needs a lesson in patience. Really? So, let's see. Woman is under arrest in Nashville for escaping a local hospital. Now, this is an interesting story. The woman is behind bars after she was found hiding in an unlocked vehicle in the parking lot. Felicia Whitefield, her name, and you wouldn't think that running out of a hospital would be a crime, right? And especially since she was already getting discharged. But she took off and fled the Southern Hills Hospital. Why would she do this, you might ask? Well, it might have something to do with the fact that she was wanted on a number of outstanding warrants. She was located in an unlocked vehicle in the parking lot. She has now been charged with identity theft, burglary of a motor vehicle, escape, and resisting arrest. Not to mention all of the other things that she was already wanted for. I didn't know that you could be charged for escaping a hospital, but apparently so. Talk about making a bad situation worse. And a couple of other items here in the broken news. Did you remember, if you're married, you remember your wedding? Did you ever get any unusual gifts that years later just become, great stories about the strange gift that somebody gave you for your wedding? Well, how about this? This is Paulsboro. Where is that? Paulsboro. I don't know. It just says the Paulsboro Police Department posted about this. You know it's going to be a good wedding gift when the police get involved. Apparently, someone thought that a good wedding gift, New Jersey, there it is, Paulsboro, New Jersey. Someone thought that a good wedding gift would be a goat for the newlyweds. A real live goat. So somebody brought a goat to the wedding as a gift. However, things took a turn when Freddy the goat suddenly went missing. Freddy was later located by the Paulsboro Police Department, which posted a photo on Facebook along with the caption, "So this is a first. Did someone lose their goat?" That might be more likely to happen, you know, in Ohio or, you know, some Midwestern state. But in New Jersey, probably doesn't happen very often. It seems that either the married couple or the gift giver got in contact with the Paulsboro PD, as it later updated the post to share that Freddie's humans had been located. They said Freddie is a wedding gift that took a leisurely stroll from where he was being hidden until it was time to reveal the gift. The lesson in all of this, stick to the registry. That's stick to the gift registry. I get the idea of thinking outside the box, but it is possible to think too far outside the box. You know what I mean? That's thing that Freddy the goat is okay. And finally, in the broken news this morning, what an amazing story this is out of Commerce City, Colorado, where a man was saved from a gunshot wound to the neck by his silver chain, his necklace. The Commerce City, Colorado Police Department released photos of the bloodied necklace with parts of the bullet still lodged in between the links of the necklace. According to the Facebook post, and I don't know the whole incident behind this, but according to the Facebook post from the Commerce City PD, if the victim had not been wearing the chain, the 22 caliber bullet would have undoubtedly gone through his neck and would have almost certainly been fatal. Instead, the victim suffered only a puncture wound. Wow. Saved by the... I got to get myself some more jewelry. That's... there you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
You don't think twice about wearing your seatbelt. Going boating? Real boaters wear a life jacket. It's easy to do. Accidents can happen quickly, and if you're not wearing your life jacket, you won't have time to put it on if it's stowed. So pick a comfortable life jacket and wear it. Remember, life jackets are for everyone, regardless of your age or swimming ability. Have fun, make memories, and boat responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and U.S. Coast Guard.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Do you wish you were more adventurous than you are? This is, you know, summertime. I think of getting outdoors and being adventurous. 58% of Americans say they wish that they were more adventurous. According to a new survey of 2,000 American adults, 58% wish that they were more adventurous. 41% of those in the survey actually have a bucket list, an adventure bucket list that they hope to complete. 25% of Americans, one in four, on that bucket list include climbing a mountain. That's one of the things they would like to do. Climbing a mountain. I've actually done that. I have climbed. I'm not scaling a mountain, you know, with the, you know, sheer sides, or just, you know, walking trail up a mountain, but a pretty good mountain out west. It is pretty cool. Climbing a mountain, one of the things that people want to do. 62% want to spend more time outdoors, which is kind of a generic goal, I guess. But 38% of adventurers say they want to cook a meal over an open flame, cook a meal over an open fire. Well, you can do that in your backyard. You don't have to necessarily. And we're talking about not just roasting hot dogs and making s'mores. We're talking about cooking an entire meal over an open fire. 38%. By the way, the 41% of respondents in the survey that have a bucket list, an adventure bucket list, hope to complete that list by the age of 56. So that is the target age, 56. So what is holding us back from doing all of those adventurous things that we want to do on our bucket list? 56% say that the thing that's holding them back are insects and pests. We want to be adventurous, but we don't want any skeeter bites. 40% fear an encounter with wildlife. If you're climbing a mountain, you don't want to run into a mountain lion or something. 40% say running into wildlife would be something that's holding them back. And 36% say that they worry about getting lost while they're having one of those adventures. Which, yeah, okay, I can understand that. 36% say getting lost is holding them back. The things that are holding us back from being more adventurous. Well, according to KOA's 10th Annual Camping and Outdoor Hospitality Report, travelers are looking for ways to slow down, recharge, and reconnect this summer. And there is no better way to do that than spending time outdoors with family and friends. And joining us this morning from Big Sky Country, you talk about the great outdoors. She's in Billings, Montana, with more on the latest camping trends for summer and beyond. Diane Eichler, Senior Vice President of Marketing for Campgrounds of America. Diane, talk a little bit more about the KOA Camping and Outdoor Hospitality Report.
Great. Thanks for having me. Our Campground and Outdoor Hospitality Report publishes every year about this time, and it does a deep dive into the trends that we're seeing for camping in 2024 and what campers can expect when they go out camping.
So, you know, during the pandemic, it seemed like everyone suddenly wanted to go camping. For a time, the demand was so great that the industry couldn't even keep up. It's kind of like the old saying, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Now that the dust has kind of settled on that mad rush, what are the top trends and preferences of campers in 2024?
Yeah, you know, during COVID, we welcomed over 4 million new campers to camping.
Wow.
Which is a really significant increase. And yeah, what we're seeing is a lot of those campers have now become really loyal campers, and they're telling us what their preferences are now and what they want to do. And so going into this year, what they're telling us is that what they really want to do is experience glamping. So 58% of our campers last year glamped for the first time. And so I think that, you know, they're wanting to have deluxe cabins with linens, some additional amenities. We're talking yurt, tree houses, rail cars, cabooses, anything that allows them to get out into nature in a unique but still amenity-filled way is a very popular way for our campers to camp this season.
So does that mean that nobody's roughing it anymore?
At KOA, we like to say that everyone's a camper, no matter whether you want to be a more rustic tent camper, all the way up to somebody who wants to have a more amenity-filled glamping vacation.
So what sort of insights and recommendations can you offer for those who want to get out camping this season?
Yeah, one of the trends that our campers are telling us is very important to them is going on camping vacations that allow them to refresh, reflect, and recharge. So they are leaning into doing digital detoxes, so not bringing their computers or their digital devices out with them camping this season. And instead, they're leaning into really light camping activities that are similar to slowing down. It's like slowing down in camping. So they're fishing, they're walking, they're hiking, and they're doing mindful meditation. They're bringing yoga and celestial sightings and stargazing into their camping trips now more than ever.
So roughing it in a sense by unplugging, I guess for some people that would be roughing it. That's enough roughing it right there. What about recommended destinations? You know, one of the things that's cool about camping is that I mean, you can go, you know, 20 miles away, you can go 2,000 miles away, and it feels like you're getting away from it all. But what are some of the top recommended destinations?
Yeah, so we find that our campers camp in two different ways. One section of our camping audience will camp about 150 miles away from where they live, and they'll camp multiple times every season. So they'll go out and they'll enjoy a different campground every single time. They're looking for rolling hills and peaceful countryside escapes in your area. We have another set of campers, though, who really have planned out epic road trips, and they're going multiple days, multiple weeks out across the United States. And they're really checking off those bucket list items, whether they're state parks or national parks even, across the country. So two very different types of campers are out this summer season.
But as we mentioned, you know, either way, it is still possible to get out in such a way that you feel like you are away from it all, even if you're relatively close to home. And, you know, as we mentioned before, you say you're seeing campers using nature to prioritize health and wellness, to relax and recharge. And really, that's always been the case when it comes to getting back to nature. It is good for the soul.
It is. And another trend that we're seeing is that our campers want to visit small cities or small towns that are off the beaten path, you know, ones that might have more artisan or unique restaurants, or, you know, smaller towns are very attractive for our campers this year. Again, going back to a little bit of a slower pace.
Really interesting stuff. Diane Eichler, again, is Senior Vice President of Marketing for Campgrounds of America. KOA out with their 10th Annual Camping and Outdoor Hospitality Report. Where do we get more information, Diane?
All of our campers can visit us at KOA.com for real-time inventory and reservations. And also visit us at our blog at KOA.com for updated tips and tricks for getting out this summer.
Diane Eichler, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, a new report ranks Ohio 8th in the nation for drug overdose deaths. But wasn't too many years ago that our state was nearly at the top of that list. Are we really improving in this area, or is the problem getting that much worse elsewhere? We'll take a closer look. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.